Good morning. My name is Aziz Nahas. I'm one of the pastors here at H2O Church. And if you don't know me, I'd love to meet you. So come up afterwards and say hi. And then you too can wave at me next week. And maybe hopefully I'll remember to say your name. So some of you may be already wondering, I've had several questions about these bandages on my arms. And Travis told me to say that you should see the bear that attacked me. But that's actually not the real reason. I wish it was something that cool, but I actually had a surgery on Friday, and they made all these incisions all over me. So I'm in a bit of pain this morning. You can pray that I recover from that soon, and I would appreciate that. But don't worry, I'm not all hopped up on pain meds, so hopefully what will be coming from me is from the Spirit of the Lord and not the Spirit of Vicodin. All right, so... But you never quite know what's going to come out of my mouth, right? But I want to start out this morning with a little story for you. Several months ago, I was on a retreat with our City Life Group leaders. We had this great retreat out in Ohio, and I don't know where it was. It was way out, remote, all these windy roads. I have no idea really how I got there. I just followed, you know, the GPS and eventually got there. So then after a couple of days, we were done, and we were leaving. So I pulled out, and... As is very typical of me, I didn't really check where I was going until I reached the first intersection, and then I looked at my GPS, and it was telling me to turn left, but I know that I had come from the right. You ever been in those situations? You're like, oh, Siri, are you serious? What are you doing to me here? Can I really trust you? What's going on? So I'm sitting there at this intersection, trying to think, should I trust Siri and go left, or should I go to the right, which is where I know I came from? Well, in the meantime, a car pulls up behind me, and I look out at my rearview mirror, and I realize it's Trisha. And I'm like, oh, she was on the retreat with us. And so I thought, you know, maybe she knows what's going on. So I got out of the car, and I walked over to Trisha. And she rolls down the window, and she starts laughing. I said, Trisha, do you know where we should go? Because, you know, my GPS is saying I should turn left, and I know I came from the right. And she starts laughing. She's like, when I pulled up behind you, I realized it was you, Aziz. And I thought to myself, I wonder... Does Aziz know where he's going? Is Aziz followable? That's exactly what she said. Is Aziz followable? And apparently we know the answer to that. So she was, no. I thought about that and I realized that's the question of our lives, right? Not is Aziz followable, but is Jesus followable? Yeah? We're constantly coming up to intersections in our lives. Some of them are really big. Where should I live? Who should I marry? Where should I work? Some of them are small. You know, should I turn right or left? But we know right from experience, even the small decisions lead to some big places. And all these decisions are important. And in each of those moments as Christians, whether we're aware of it or not, we find ourselves asking, is Jesus followable in this moment? And of course, the bigger the decision, right, the more we think about that. It's not so hard when it's something small, but it's when it's like, who should I marry, or right, or what should I do with my life? Then you're like, ooh, you know, Jesus is saying this, but the world is saying that. Is Jesus followable? And that's a question we ask, right, even before we become Christians. That's at the heart of the question we have about becoming Christians. Is Jesus followable? Will he really save me? Will he really lead me to a good place? Or should I just keep trusting all the other things I've been trusting so far in my life? That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. It is so refreshing. And it's just a taste of your grace. And it's even more refreshing to be here with you and with your people. Thank you for providing us brothers and sisters who love us. Sometimes, Lord, our families can be very difficult. Our biological ones, the ones we grew up with. And Lord, thank you that you promise us ultimately to be our perfect Heavenly Father and to provide us with family and that you promise us a future that is glorious and bright that we can look forward to. Lord, help us this morning to be refreshed by your word and by your spirit. Help us to have newfound confidence to follow Jesus and to listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So over the last 2 weeks, we've focused on how God is our shepherd, right? and He provides for us, and He restores us. We've looked at Psalm 23. We're going through the Psalm this summer, and we're in verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I just love saying that. He restores my soul. And notice here that God is present and active in His provision and His restoration, right? He doesn't just say, hey, sheep, there's some really nice hills over there. Just head on over there. Maybe sends a few sheepdogs with us. No, what this says is that He does that. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. That is so important to remember and so wonderful, isn't it? God is actively involved in taking us to these green pastures and waters of rest. He is present. He goes with us. He leads us. He leads us. And that is a great comfort, isn't it? In fact, throughout the Bible, what we see is God's people are comforted and encouraged to great acts of faith by these simple words that God tells them, I am with you. I am with you. Every time He asks them to do something scary, something dangerous, something big, something that makes them wonder, is Jesus followable? He says, I am with you. I am with you. And this morning, we're going to be looking closely at this truth in the second part of verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Here again in verse 3, we're told that the Lord leads us. But why is that comforting for David and for us? Apparently it wasn't very comforting for Tricia to know that I was leading her in that situation. And why? Because I didn't know where I was going, right? But the Lord does. Because as David said, God leads us in paths of righteousness. So what does that mean? What are these paths of righteousness? And I used to think that this meant simply that God leads us in doing good. And that's true, but there is more to it than that. It doesn't just mean He's leading us in doing good. It literally means that God leads us in the right paths. He leads us in the right paths. And that's opposed to Him leading us in the wrong paths. Imagine if God led us in the wrong paths, you wouldn't want to follow Him, right? But He always leads us in the right paths. What are these right paths? Well, imagine, again here, this analogy here is that God is our shepherd. Imagine a good shepherd who's also a knowledgeable shepherd, right? He doesn't just care about the sheep. He knows what's best for them. And He's leading them. And so where does He lead them? He always leads them down the best paths. He avoids unnecessary dangers and hardships. He doesn't just go, I know there's a gully right there, but I'm not going to tell them. And I'm going to wonder, I wonder when they'll notice. I wonder how many will have to fall in before they finally stop. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, well, this is the best path, but that path over there, boy, that's more difficult and painful. Let's see how much these sheep can handle. He doesn't do that. He takes us down the best paths for us. And these aren't just aimless paths either. They're also the best paths. Why? Because they lead to green pastures, still waters, restoration of our souls. He leads us down the right paths. That's what God does. He's a good shepherd. And also these are the right paths for us because when we trust God as our shepherd and take these paths, it's pleasing to Him and it honors Him. So that also makes these paths of righteousness. So, the question again, is Jesus followable? Well, this is not a trick question. The answer is yes. Yes. Always yes. He always leads us down the right paths because not only does He know the right paths, but He cares about us. And if you follow Him, you won't ever get lost. And this is such good news, isn't it? Think about it. In a world with so many dangers and unknowns and false leaders trying to take advantage of us, and our own confused and messed up minds misleading us, it's so good to know that there is a good shepherd who we can depend on, who cares for us, and who knows the right paths and wants us to lead in us in them. Now, since God's paths lead to such good places, you'd think it would be easy for us to follow, right? Wrong. It isn't, right? You know that. Look at your own life. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says this, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And this is a grim but very accurate portrayal of the human condition. Why do we do this? If God is so good, so wise, so loving, why do we keep just going our own way? Well, I want to tell you there are two reasons that I could think of that I think are really important to understand. The first is this. So many years ago, I think I was talking with Allie about this. She raised sheep for 4-H, and she would tell me stories about how stupid sheep are. Just the dumbest animals, and she can tell you some really funny stories. And then I started talking about sheep with my father-in-law. He's a farmer, and he hates raising sheep. He will never have anything to do with sheep. And I asked him why. He said, "Oh, they're so stupid. They're the stupidest animals." And so I thought, okay, so maybe this is why we go astray. We're so stupid. That must be what the Bible is saying. So for years, that's what I thought. Then one day, I was at a memorial service for students who lost their lives that year in school, and I was sitting with a family, and they had lost one of their children. And so I was trying to get to know them, and at one point, I discovered that they were shepherds, like modern-day shepherds. They raised sheep, and I was so excited to impress them with my knowledge of sheep, which is very minimal, actually. And so I was telling them, it's like, "Oh, you raise sheep? Oh, so you must know how stupid they are. Oh my goodness, I have heard all these stories about how dumb sheep are." And I was like going off about this. Well, I'm pretty intuitive, and I'm looking at their faces, and their faces are changing. Before that, they were kind of warming up to me and everything, and then their faces got really cold and harsh, and they became just stone cold, and I'm like, "What is going on? What have I said wrong? Oh no, and this is so terrible, and this is a memorial service. I'm supposed to be comforting them, but instead they look like they're getting angry with me." And finally, I just kind of trailed off, and I decided just to be silent. And the patriarch of the family looked at me, and he just very sternly said, "Sheep are not stupid. Sheep are actually very intelligent animals." And then he went off on me about sheep, which I probably deserved. But all in my mind, I'm thinking, no, wait a minute. I don't understand. Here are other people who've raised sheep, and sheep are really stupid, seemingly. But here's a shepherd, and he's telling me sheep are actually very intelligent animals. I don't get it. What's going on? And then I started thinking about myself, and I started thinking about humans. When do we act stupid? When we're afraid. When we're afraid, aren't we? When we're afraid, we don't think straight. We make stupid decisions about our lives and the people around us. We do stupid things that cause harm and hurt to ourselves and the people around us. We panic, and when we panic, we do stupid things. And that made a lot of sense to me. I think the hallmark of sheep is that we're afraid. Sheep are terrified, and it makes sense. Vivek talked about that, right? 2 weeks ago, sheep have no defense mechanism, right? Even if they lie down like a possum, they can't get up again, right? They're completely defenseless. No wonder they're terrified all the time. And they're terrified, so they do stupid things, and they follow other stupid sheep doing stupid things. And that's us, right? We're afraid. That's one reason I think we don't follow the Lord. Another reason is because we're proud. We get in our heads that we do know best. And so we resist the Lord's leading. We're afraid and we're proud. And what's the result of that? Proverbs 14 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." It's the way to death. So what's the solution? We need a solution to our fear. We need a solution to our pride. We're told the solution in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths," right? The right paths. "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." The solution to our fear and our pride is trust and humility. Trust that he really does love us and knows what's best. and humility to accept his leadership. And so I want to ask you to take a moment and ask yourself this morning, how are you doing at trusting the Lord's leadership in your life? How are you doing at being humble before him, acknowledging his greatness over you and your need for him? So, how does God lead us in the right paths? Well, there are several ways we see in Scripture. The first way that he leads us in the right paths is through his word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This is the cosmic GPS that the Lord has provided for us. But a lot of times he doesn't show us like all the steps. He just shows us the next step. Think about a lamp to the feet. Have you walked around at night with a flashlight? How much do you see with a flashlight? If you're smart, you shine it right at your feet so you make sure you don't walk into ditches and things. You don't see very much farther a lot of times, but it shows you the next step to take. But the beauty of God's word is it also will show us where we're going to end up and where we need to be headed. The Lord's word guides us in our lives. If you want to be motivated to read the Bible, hopefully this teaching will motivate you. But if you need a little more motivation, I encourage you to read Psalm 119. So, Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, but don't let that discourage you. It's super encouraging because it just goes on and on and on about how great the Bible is for leading us in our lives. And I remember I did that early on as a Christian, where I was feeling very discouraged about being a Christian and about reading the Bible, and I read that psalm, and it just totally encouraged me to read the Bible more. So I want to ask you, how well do you know the Bible? And how much are you relying upon it to guide you in your life? When we have the questions for our lives and we want answers, we want direction, we go to so many places, but how much do we go to the Bible? Sometimes we feel daunted by the Bible. Oh, it's such a big book, I don't even know where to begin. Sometimes we do like the random method, you know, I'm just going to open it up and put my finger down and hopefully something will speak to me. I guess that's a start, but I encourage you, if you don't know where to start with the Bible, get help. I'd be glad to help you. Others in our church would be glad to help you. The Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to give you direction for your life. How well are you responding to it with trust and humility? And then, yeah, and when he does show you something in the Bible, yeah, how are you responding to it? Another way that God leads us in the right paths is through his Spirit. So his word, also his Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." This is the mark of a true Christian, you guys, of our salvation, that we are led by the Spirit of God. Did you realize that? When you believed in Jesus Christ, his Spirit came to dwell in you. And one of the things he's doing is leading you all the time. He's prompting you. He's speaking to you. He's leading you in the right paths. The question is, will you listen? Will you take them? And the hallmark of God's children is that they do listen to the Spirit of God, and they respond with trust and obedience to his voice. We let him lead us. In John 10, we read this a few weeks ago, Jesus said this, verses 1 through 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." The question is for me and for you, for all of us, is whose voice are we listening to? And how much are we listening to the Spirit of Jesus? There are so many voices in our lives, right? Clamoring for our attention. How much are we listening to the Spirit of Jesus? I want to encourage you, and this may seem a little mystical, and it is. Don't be scared by that or put off by it. But talk to the Holy Spirit throughout the day and ask him to lead you. And then listen. Listen throughout the day to what he's prompting you to do and to say. If the voice that you hear is leading you into evil, that's not the Spirit. But if the voice you hear is leading you towards what is good, that is probably the Spirit of God. Pay attention. It may seem unlikely. It may seem strange. It may not seem like a big thing. Hey, why don't you go over and ask that person how they're doing? Hey, why don't you make some cookies for your friend? Do they like cookies? I don't know. Who doesn't like cookies? I don't know. Just make some cookies. Go for it. You know, people are like, wow, I want my life to be exciting. I want there to be some pizzazz. So I'm going to watch the new Star Wars movie. And then it leaves you kind of like, really? Okay. But we've been given the pizzazz, right? The Holy Spirit, He lives in us. He's wanting to guide us and do amazing and wonderful things. He wants to surprise us with things that He's doing, with His power, His knowledge, His love. But so often we want to keep our lives under control, keep them safe, and we miss out on what He's wanting to do through us. So open yourself up to the Holy Spirit. God leads us through His Word, His Spirit, and also His people. His people. Sometimes we're like, oh, I can do this all on my own. I don't need other people. You know, and I got His Word, and I got God's Spirit, and that's good enough. Well, the Bible says, no, God has provided also other ways that He wants to speak to us, also through His people. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about how the Holy Spirit sometimes gives other Christians a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge for us in order to help us. In Proverbs 11:14, we're instructed that where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Do you have an abundance of counselors in your life? And I don't just mean like paid counselors. I mean people in your life who you can go to for advice. In Ephesians 4, we see that the Holy Spirit gives people to the church to guide, care for, and build up the church, such as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In Hebrews 13:17, God tells us to obey our church leaders and submit to their leadership, for they have been charged by God with keeping watch over our souls. So let me ask you, when you're trying to figure out God's will for your life, how much do you get advice from the people God has put in your life? Are you willing to humble yourself before others? And how are you doing at getting advice and guidance from the spiritual leaders God has put in your life? You know, the internet's great. Well, some ways it's great, but it gives us at our fingertips access to huge amounts of information, and that's super. But sometimes we become a little bit self-reliant with that, right? We're just like, well, I got the internet, I got Google, so I don't really need to get advice from anyone else. And I certainly don't need to talk to my pastor or my life group leader, get their thoughts and counsel. And then we're missing out. We're missing out on God's leading in our lives. God also leads us through His creation. He leads us through His Word, His Spirit, His people, and His creation, including, and this was mind-blowing for me many years ago, including people who don't know God. There's this wonderful story in the Bible. We don't have time to go through it this morning. The book of Jonah, and I highly encourage you to read it, even if you've read it before. And in this book, God wanted Jonah to announce judgment on the city of Nineveh. And these were the Assyrian people, people who Jonah hated, because they had tortured and tormented and murdered and killed so many Jews. And God also wanted Jonah not just to go out there and announce judgment on them. He wanted Jonah to grow in compassion for others, even his hated enemies. And Jonah refused. And so he ran away. And do you know what God did? It says that God used the sea, a storm, pagan sailors, dice, a great fish, a plant, a worm, and a wind, all to lead Jonah down the right path towards obeying God and increasing his compassion for others. That's amazing if you think about it. Pretty much the only one in the book who was not letting God lead them was Jonah. How open are you to God's leading through circumstances and even the words of unbelievers? I remember many years ago, I was a co-op student in engineering working in Kokomo, Indiana, and my roommate was not a Christian, and we'd lived together for many months, and one day after work, he decided to challenge me. He said, Aziz, you are a terrible boyfriend. You are stingy with your girlfriend, and you are unloving. You're harsh with her in your words. And also, by the way, you are not working very hard at your job. I hear you talking about your work, and you are not working very hard. Well, can you imagine my reaction? It was very humble. I was like, oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. No. my reaction was, what? Who are you to say any of those things? And those things are not true. I'm a great boyfriend. I mean, don't ask her, but I'm a great boyfriend. You know, and I work really hard. Come on. But at the root of it all was, my thought was, you're not even a Christian. How do you even know? I'm not even going to receive what you're saying because you don't even believe in Jesus. You don't believe the Bible. What do you know? But thankfully, the Holy Spirit, he was in me, and he said, hey, Aziz, chill out a second. Come over here. You know what? He's saying exactly what I want him to say to you because you need to hear those things, and he is exactly right. And it was really sobering. He was exactly right. God used him in my life powerfully. And thankfully, the Holy Spirit did humble me, and I did receive those words, and it did help my life in a great way. And that was when I first started realizing the Lord can lead us even through non-Christians around us. And finally, God leads us also through his sovereign choice, through his word, his spirit, his people, his creation, and his sovereign choice, just sending us down the path that he wants us to take. Usually God's leading depends upon our response, right? We can choose to trust and yield to God's leading, to walk down the path he's showing us, and then we experience life. Or we can choose to walk down a different path, follow a different shepherd, and then we experience death. But thankfully, God in his mercy always brings us back to himself. But in this choice, this is the decision that we face in most situations in our life. In fact, even at the end of the book of Jonah, we see Jonah facing this choice. We don't know what path Jonah will take, to embrace God's compassion for the Ninevites or to remain bitter and angry and hateful. And we're left with being in that same situation. What choice will we make about God's leading? But sometimes God leads us in his sovereign power in ways that don't depend upon our response. Did you guys realize that? And this is the case ultimately with our salvation and our transformation into becoming like Christ. One of my favorite passages in Romans 8:28 through 32, and it says this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" This is so comforting, isn't it? Our shepherd is so powerful and loves us so much that he will cause everything to work together for our good, to cause us to become like Jesus. And that doesn't depend upon our choices, our performance, our ability. Thank God. Ultimately, our shepherd is leading us into glory. Did you notice that in there? It says that those whom he justified, he also glorified. Are we glorified right now? No, we're not. If in case it isn't already obvious. Someday we're going to be glorified, but not now. But when he talks about it here, he uses the past tense. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Why would he use the past tense for something in the future? Because it is so certain that he can speak about it as if it has already happened. That's how certain your glory is going to be. And that's so comforting to remember and to understand that our shepherd is going to lead us into glory based upon his sovereign choice and power. And it's not dependent upon our ability and our performance. So God leads us into what is good for us through his word, his spirit, his people, his creation, and his sovereign choice. And this good future, this promise, and indeed all of his leading, is not just backed up by his power, it's also backed up by his name. There's a little phrase in there. You can overlook it if you're not careful, but we're going to look at it. It says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. God has promised to do this for his name's sake. He's putting his reputation on the line for us. And God is passionate about his name, about who he is, and he will never do anything to go against that. And we see this throughout the Bible. For his name's sake, just listen. I'm not going to put these verses on the screen, but just listen to these verses. And as you do, I think it'll encourage your heart. 1 Samuel 12:22, Samuel the prophet told the Israelites, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself." In Psalm 79, the psalmist cries out for deliverance based on God's passion for his name. He says this, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake." In 1 John 2:12, we are reminded that we can have confidence in our forgiveness because of God's passion for his name. He says this, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." If God were to abandon us and not fulfill his promise, then he would be dishonoring his name, and he will never do that. So when he says to you, he is leading you down the right path for his name's sake, you can have absolute confidence that that is going to happen. It is backed up by the full power and authority of the name of the Lord of hosts. You know, you get these money, right? And it's backed up by the full faith and credit or whatever of the government. I don't know the exact wording, but right, if people didn't have confidence in that, they would all of a sudden wake up one day and realize, oh, I'm just holding a little piece of green cloth. Why is this able to do anything? I don't want that. I'm not going to give you my TV for that. But we all, it's backed up by the government and the name of the government and the authority of the government and the reputation of the government. How much greater is the name and reputation and power of the Lord God? And his promise to us is based on that. So what do you guys think? When you think about your future, how does it affect you to know that God's sovereign power and passion for his name are leading you into green pastures, still waters, restoration, and glory? I want to give you a minute right now to reflect on these questions for your life right now. What makes it hard for you to follow God's paths? What helps you to trust and follow his leading? And what is some area of your life right now that God is asking you to follow his leading in, but it's hard for you to do so? I encourage you right now to be honest with yourself, be honest with the Lord. Come before him and admit that and ask for his help and say to him, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this area. I'm going to do it. Help me. I am a fearful sheep and I need your help. And I can be a prideful sheep, and I need humility. Help me." I'm going to give you guys a minute to go ahead and reflect on these questions for your life. And I encourage you to keep thinking about this when you go home. I know this wasn't a lot of time. And be open to the Lord's leading. Jesus is our good shepherd. Is he followable? Yes. Yes. Always yes. He's always with us. He always leads us down the right paths. If you follow him, you will never get lost. It may seem like it sometimes, but trust in him. Hang on to him. And he will lead you into a future that is for your good and for your glory, for his name's sake. You guys, let's entrust our lives to him and let him lead us, all right? Let me go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love for us, which never changes. Thank you for your great power on our behalf, your grace, your mercy to lead us to green pastures and still waters, to restoration of our souls. Thank you that you're always leading us down the right paths. Help us to trust you. Help us not to give in to our fear, which sometimes just threatens to overwhelm us. Help us to rest in you, to trust in you. Help us to humble ourselves before you, not think that we know better or that the world knows better, but to trust your word and to follow you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your incredible patience towards us. You never give up on us. You always go with us. You are always with us to lead us into glory. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.